Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Lamed Hey. We left off with daf Lamed Dalet and Beis, and we started to discuss yesterday the concept of Kol Da'olam Gavar, that sometimes Beis Din just says, you know what, we're not going to deal with it. You guys fight it out, and whoever is stronger should win. So we pointed out yesterday that there's a Machlokas Rishonim, fundamentally, what Kol Da'olam Gavar is. Is Kol Da'olam Gavar that Beis Din really just says you guys fight it out continually, and therefore that's how the Rashbam says, and therefore today one guy might be stronger, and then the other guy will go to the gym and work out a little bit and take karate, and he'll be able to defeat the other person, and they will keep going back and forth, and Beis Din doesn't care. That's what you do. You just keep on fighting. Or is Kol Da'olam Gavar a one time thing? Beis Din says, okay, we're gonna have one match to the death. You know, whoever not death literally, but whoever wins, and it's gonna be you. To keep. So is it an ongoing or is it just a one-time thing? And the further and related machlokas is what the svara is. Is based in assuming that when we say Kol Da'olam Gavar, the right man is going to win? Or are we saying we don't know who's going to win, but you know we don't have anything to do? The Rush assumes that it means that Beis Din has to be assuming that the right man is going to win. And the rightful owner is going to be the one who's going to be Moser Nefesh more. He's going to be Gavar Berayos as well as Bekoach. He'll put more into the fight, and therefore he's going to be more passionate about it, and that's why we assume he's going to be victorious. So even if he's a 12-pound weakling going up against a 350-pound guy, we assume that all that spunk and passion about it is going to allow him to overcome the other person. That we assume that he's actually going to win. I was talking to one of the Rebbeim Yeshiva yesterday. Rabbi Storch told me that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in his sefer has a sefer on Cheskas Habatim, I think just on this perek. And in the sefer, the way he formulates the machlokas is, what's the role of Beis Din? Is the role of Beis Din to promote emes, or is the role of Beis Din to promote shalom? Meaning, what's the primary role of Beis Din? Is Beis Din's function over here to create a situation where the right din comes out, or where shalom comes out? So if the role of Beis Din is to promote emes, so then you're going to want, then you're going to have to say more like the Rush, that we really believe that the rightful owner is going to win, that's why we do call Da'olam Gavar. If you say it's to promote Shalom, so then you're not going to say that it's the rightful owner is going to win. It's just we have to say something, so we're going to tell them to go fight it out. You could argue also that that's the issue of whether it's a psak, a one-time psak, or a siluk, where Beis Din just walks away and lets you do whatever you want. If the role is to promote shalom, so Beis Din's got to give a psak just so that we put an end to this. So give a one-time psak, let's do it, and then it will be over. But if it's to promote MS, well, that's not really MS, because we don't know who's really the rightful owner. So Beis Din's misalik, because Beis Din's role is MS, and there is no MS here. There's nothing that we can say one way or the other. So Beis Din's going to be misalik themselves and allow them to fight it out. There is a Rama in Chosha Mishpat that writes that when you have a suffix on something that's not a suffix in Metzius, but it's a machlokas haposkim. Let's say it's something that they were nechleku bo b'gemara, the Rama says. If it's something that's an ein bo din chaluka, so it's not something that you can divide. If it's something you could divide and it's machlokas haposkim and we don't know how to paskin, so you divide it. But if it's something that's machlokas haposkim and it's ein bo din chaluka, there's no way to divide it. Let's say a boat, you cut it in half, both sides will sink. So you can't divide it. So the Rama writes, we say kol da'olam gavar. Then we're going to apply kol da'olam gavar. The Shach on Choshe Mishpat on that Rama says, wait a second, how can you say kol da'olam gavar in such a case where it's a machlokas haposkim according to the Rush, where the whole idea of kol da'olam gavar is the guy who really owns it is going to be Moser Nefesh more. Neither of these guys even know who really owns it. Right? It's a machlokas in poskim. So how can the whole svara of kol da'olam gavar, that the guy who really owns it is going to fight harder? There's no question in the Metzius over here. It's machlokas haposkim. No, what? One of these guys, the guy who really owns it is a bigger Talmud Chacham, and he knows that he really owns it. So how can you even apply kol da'olam gavar in that situation? So he says it seems that the Ramah doesn't go with the Rush's explanation of kol da'olam gavar because it simply doesn't fit that case. The Urim V'Tumim, Rav Yonah Snipeshitz, in the Urim V'Tumim in Choshe Mishpat, writes that no, when the Rush has to say that his reason, that we assume it's the better party, the rightful owner that's really going to win, that's the Rush talking about a case by something that you can split, by something that can be divided. And nevertheless, the Rush thinks, the Rush is explaining why the Gemara would think that even by something that's Yeshba Din Chaluka, the more ethical and proper thing to do is to say Kol Dalam Gavar. Why is that more ethical and proper to say Kol Dalam Gavar? Why don't you just split it? Because the Rush believes that through Kol Dalam Gavar, the rightful owner will end up with it. So if it's splitting it, and the rightful owner is going to lose half of it. But by if you hold the Kol Dalam Gavar, something that's going to, the rightful owner is going to end up with it, so then even by a davar sheyesh bo din chaluka, Kol Dalam Gavar. By a davar shein bo din chaluka ein achinami, the Rosh's Svara won't make any sense. And the Ramah's talking about a davar shein bo din chaluka, it's the Ha'ara of Rabbi Yonah Sinaipshitz. Okay, we left off at the two dots, and Daf Lam Dalam Beis, we're still going to be discussing Kol Dalam Gavar a little bit. Says the Gemara, Zeo Marshal of Osai, Bezeo Marshal of Osai. Each guy says that the land belongs to his father, right? That it belonged to his father, and therefore, by extension, belongs to him now. Amar Rav Nachman, Kol Dalam Gavar. So Rav Nachman says, no, so that's our solution. Kol Dalam Gavar, let them fight it out. Umayishna, so ask the Gemara, why is this any different than the following case? Mishnei Shtaros Hayotzin B'Yom Echad, where you have two Shtaros that both have the same date on the Shtaros. So therefore we don't know, meaning it's two shtaros and Tosus on the bottom of there, as well as the Rashbam, Tosus says, b'shtaros mecher o matana eri. There are two shtaros that a certain piece of land was sold, or that it was given as a matana, but it's the same piece of land. So Reuven has a shtar that it was sold to him, or given as a matana to him, and Shimon has a shtar that says that it was sold to him, or given as a matana to him. And they both have the same date on it. So whichever one got it first is really the rightful owner. Whichever one had that shtar first should be the rightful owner. But we don't know which one got it first. They both have the same date, right? Tosu says. So let's see what the Gemara says first. Shnei shtaros yotzin b'yom echad. The Rav Amar yachloku. So Rav says in that situation, you split it. Ushmuel Amar shuda d'daini. And Shmuel says no. We apply shuda d'daini, which means one of them gets it, whichever one the Beis Din wants to give it to is the one that gets it. Why doesn't anyone say Kol Dalam Gavar over there? Shuda D'daini is different than Kol Dalam Gavar. Kol Dalam Gavar is where Beis Din doesn't make the decision at all. Let them fight it out, they'll make the decision. But Shuda D'daini is Beis Din making the decision based on whatever. We're going to have to see what Shuda D'daini is based on. It's Machlokas Rishonim, but it's Beis Din clearly making the call. So says the Gemara, no. Hasam leka lemekam ala demilsa, hacha ika lemekam ala demilsa. The big difference is by the Beis Shtaros, by the two Shtaros on the same day, it's leka lemekam ala demilsa. Today or tomorrow, we're never gonna be able to clarify exactly what happened, because even if one of them brings Aiden that it happened that he had it on that day, the shtaros have the same zman, and even if he brings Aiden that are gonna be made that it was nichta v'nimsa beboker and the other one was be'erev, the hakdama b'shaos doesn't matter to us. Meaning the halacha is that at what time of day the shtar was written doesn't make a difference. We only follow the date, we don't follow the time of day of the shtar. So there's nothing that he can do to prove that it's really his. So says Rashbam, wait a second, Dibur Maskel Hasam, five lines in, he says, V'leka l'memar, shema ze nimsar tchila, yom o yomayim o chodesh, v'achar kach nimsar asheni, l'sheni, he says, and you can't say that no, maybe the Mesiras Hashtar happened for one guy a few days before the other guy, because it doesn't matter. The Me'achar Shenichtavu B'Yom Echad, since they were both written on the same day, Mestama Gam B'Yom Echad Nimsaru. We have the right to assume they were given on the same day as well. Kamo Shumachiach Lashon HaKasav B'Shtar, as the Lashon that's written in the Shtar seems to indicate. Hilkach Rav Amar Cholkin U'Shmuel Amar Shuda D'daini. Dahol ve'in levare li olam hadin imi mishtadlim bezin bedina v'daninoso. Since we don't know, and we never will know who's right, so Bezin has to do something, and they need to do something now. So they either say yachloku or shuda d'daini. Aval hacha, but in our case, where this guy says shalavosai, and the other guy says shalavosai, and neither one has proof. B'hai karka d'leka lo shtar v'lo edim, v'ika l'mekam ala d'milsa im yavo v'yidu shalmihu. And it could be that one day we'll know. All we need is Adam to show up one day and tell us who it belongs to, and that will be good enough. Hilkach ein kan lomar chaluka v'shuda. We're not going to say chaluka or shuda. The shema yavoe, dim v'yistru asadin shadonu beizdin. Because what's going to be? If beizdin gives a psak, they're going to give a shuda psak, they're going to give a yachloka psak, tomorrow Eidim might come and show that the psak was flat out wrong. Hilkach ein beizdin niskakon lehem ladun din. Interesting lashon. Therefore, beizdin doesn't get involved to be done a din, Shesofa lovely day evos, to be done a din that we know is doomed to be proven or possibly be proven to be incorrect. Elamanichinosam, we leave them alone, the kolda alum gavar, chiavo edim vivaru adavar, and let them fight it out until Edim will come and will clarify the matter. Again, Rashbam is strongly indicating that kolda alum gavar is a siluk. Beis Din can't paskin, he says. We can't paskin because if Beis Din is just risking looking like fools if they paskin, since tomorrow Edom could walk in and could testify one way or the other, so psak is not an option over here. They have to do kol dalem gavar. But in a case where we're confident the matter is never going to become clarified, then we'll go with a psak of either yachloku or shuda. Now, if you look at that Tosos back again at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Tosos said b'shtaros mecher o matana eri. And that's why, according to Shmuel, says Shuda, it's not at all the same as the Gemara Maseches Ksubos that tells us how you kulan yotzos biyamechad ve'in shem elamana echad kulan cholkos b'shava. The Gemara has such a din that if everyone has a shtar and it all has the same date, and each shtar says the guy owes $100, and the guy only has $100 to his name, but three people have shtaros that say that he owes $100 to them, and they all have the same date on it, they divide it evenly. Everyone gets 33 and the third, whatever. The hasam b'shibur ayri, te'in shibur chal, elamei osa shosha mochiach mitoch shtar. That's because we're dealing with a shibur. And a shibur is only going to be chal from the moment that the shtar indicates the shibur. When does the shibud begin? The day after the ksivas hashtar. Because on the day that the shtar was written, we don't know when the shibud is chal, when the shibud on the karka is going to be chal, whether it was in the morning, the night, whatever, because we don't know when the shtar was written. When it comes to matana or mecher, really it should be whoever came first that day is really entitled to the matana or the mecher. By a shibud for sure doesn't kick in. Look, does he owe me money before then? Yes, he owes me money. If he borrowed money from me in the morning and he borrowed money from somebody else in the afternoon, he owed me money first, but that doesn't matter. We're trying to collect from his karka. We have to know when the shibud kicked in. When does the shibud kick in? The day after the date written on the shtar. So if all three of us have the same date written on our shtar, then the shibud has not yet kicked in. So the Ran in Ksubis explains that collecting the chasam elekuchos using a milva b'shtar is all talui in a kol. You need people to know that there was a shtar. And the kol only goes out from the sof hayom, from the end of the day, of the date written in the shtar. Right, and therefore, two shtar yichov that come out on the same day, the shibud of both people actually is chal at the exact same time, and therefore neither one has kedima over the other one. That's the chiluk between shtarei mecher and matan on the one hand, which is the subject of our gemara, versus shtarei halva'a, which is the subject of the Gemara in Ksubis, where you would just say, for sure, that you would just say Yachloku, right? And Shmuel does not disagree there and suggest Shuda. What is Shuda? What does Shuda Dedaini mean? So it's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos throughout Shas. Over here it's Machlokas Rashbam and Tosfos, but the Machlokas is the same throughout Shas. If you look at Rashbam over here, three lines before the lines get wide, Shuda Dedaini, La'oso Sheyehenote Leiv Hadayanim, Shahaya Hanosin Ohavo, O Krovo Yoser. The Dayanim have to try to figure out who did the person who was giving the Matana, who did he like more? Who is he closer to? Divadelahu Gamar Ba'aknilo. Because certainly he would have given it to the guy he was closer to and he liked more. Yitnu Asakarka. Vishema Zacha Balakarka B'shalo. Avokashata Omer Yachloku Bivade Echad Nakatal Chati Shalokadin. And the Roshbam points out, and the reason Shuda is more ethical than Yachloku is what we, similar to the svar we said before, that Yachloku for sure is not true. It's for sure not the correct din. We know it belongs to one of them and not the other. So Yachloku we know is wrong. And therefore we know that the party that's really supposed to get the whole thing is losing half of it. So we know something wrong is coming out with Yachloku. With Shuda, if we get it right, we got it right. And then everyone got exactly what they deserve. And we rely on Shuda to assume that we're going to know how to get it right. Again, there's no halachic proof, but just based on what we know about the personality, what we know about who he would have wanted to give it to. That's Rashbam, and the truth is Rashi's Shita throughout Shas, in what Shuda means. If you look at Tosfos, Shuda de Daini, the third Tosfos on the page, Nir L'Rabbeinu Tam, L'misha Yirtza HaDayin Litein, whoever the Dayin feels like giving it to. Unbelievable, very different than Rashi, right? Not whoever the Dayan thinks the guy really meant to give it to, whoever the Dayan wants to give it to. V'lo kapir shakuntra shiyam du daito shal nosein, not like Rashi says, where we try to figure out what the das is of the person who gave it. How do I know that? Says Tosos, the b'sof perakamet de gittin, gabe holich manu l'poni kamer mashi yirtza shliach yasa, v'kari lehasam shuda. The Gemara refers to a case of someone who was a shliach to give something, and it says Mashi Yirtza Shliach Yasa, let him do whatever he wants. The Gemara refers to that as Shuda. Now that's not Dayanim figuring out who a person would have wanted to give it to. That's just a guy saying, yeah, what do I want to do with it? And yet that's called Shuda. So Tosfos says, you see, Shuda is much more random. Ubeperek Asar Yuchsin, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, fourth Perek Kiddushin, Nami Yom Ne'eman HaDayin Lomar, Lazezach Yisi Lazech Yafti. The Gemara says, the Dayin is believed to say, I was Mezakeh this person in Din, and that when I was Mechayev. Meaning it's after the Gemara Din, and we don't remember what the Pesach was. The Dayin is Ne'eman to remind us of what it was. Bamedvar Mamurim Kishabali Din Imam de Mufanav. That's only if the Bali Din are in front of him. Aval ain Bali Dinim Imam de Mufanav, the Gemara continues. But if there are no Bali Dinim in front of him, Eino Ne'eman, he's not believed. So asks the Gemara, Uparich v'nehada v'nidayne, why don't we just go and do the Din Torah again? Meaning, what do you mean we don't believe? The halacha didn't change since the last time the Din Torah was done, so just do it again, let him judge it again, let him analyze the evidence again, and probably he'll come out with the same answer, because the halacha didn't change. Umishani, and the Gemara answers, B'shuda d'dayni. No, it wasn't the Din Torah. The ruling wasn't based on Dinei HaTorah. The ruling was based on Shuda D'Daini. So he can't do it again and assume he's going to come out with the same outcome. Well, why not? So if it's like Rashi said, that it's about figuring out who the closer friend was, who the guy liked more, right? Who he was closer to, and giving it to that person, who he's more likely to have wanted to give something to, and giving it to that person. Well, why can't you do it again? You should be able to make that analysis again as well. And plus, Tosfos says, Yerushalmi says beferish like me. So Tosfos says I have three rayas. Raya number one is Gittin, raya number two is in Kiddushin, and raya number three is Yerushalmi says beferish like that. That Shuda D'Daini means whoever you want to give it to, you can go give it to. Fractosfim Tomer in Cain, Yitin the Misha, Yitin Loschar. Wait a second. If Shuda D'Daini means you just give it to whoever you want to, if I were a judge, I'd figure, you know, how I'd figure out who I want to give it to? Whoever pays me more for it. If it's a $10,000 piece of property and one guy is willing to pay me $5,000 and the other one's willing to pay me $9,000, I'll give it to the guy who's willing to pay me $9,000. So says Tosfos, no, V'yishlomer dekol dayna demekabel igra lav dayanahu. Anyone who accepts a bribe is not a dayan. And Allah is not Shuda de Inchi, it's Shuda de Dayini. The Dayan is entitled to do Shuda. And therefore, if he's if he accepts a bribe, he's immediately pasul as a Dayan. And Mele, he's not entitled to do Shuda anymore. Umashapir Shrach, the Kabbalah Biyadeinu, Glamrin Shuda Elbim Makarkai, and that which the Rabbeinu Chananel is Mechadish, totally separate point. The Rabbeinu Chananel apparently had a Chiddush that we only say Shuda on Karka. We don't say it on anything else. He says, Ein Nira Lari. Because the Gemara in Gittin we quoted earlier, where it applies the concept of Shuda, talks about money, and it applies the concept of Shuda. Od pirish to dafka dayan mumcha osa Shuda. Furthermore, the Rach says that only an expert judge can do Shuda. So Rav Sheshes gavar Rabba Hava, Vamle Rav Nachman mar lav dayanu hu gabe imei derami bar chama, Ravuk v'bar chama perg mishay nasoi. So you see that there is such a requirement that the dayan be a dayan mumcha, that even being a gavar rab is not enough unless you're an expert dayan, that you need to be a dayan mumcha in order to impose shuda. So meaning according to Tosos, that Shuda is totally random. What do you mean you need to be? Why do you need to be a Dayan Mumcha in order to impose Shuda? Because it's an authority issue. That to have the authority, to have your, to have the ability to make that call of what you think, to have what you think matters or what you feel matter, you have to be a Dayan. According to Rashi, it fits a little bit better. That a Dayan is used to judging situations and reading people, and you know that's what the Dayan doesn't only examine the evidence; he examines how it's being told to him. He examines what he thinks the truth is. And if Dayan does a drisha v'chakira and the Edom answer the same correctly, but he senses that something's wrong, it's a din maruma, so the Dayan has the right to investigate further. The Dayan has to be intelligent like that. He has to have some social intelligence to be able to figure out what the truth is, and therefore the Dayan, someone who's a Dayan Mumcha, has experience in these matters. If it's about figuring out relationships and figuring out who's closer to who and who the guy would have wanted to give it to, so then you can certainly understand that Dayan Mumcha is better equipped to do that than a non-Dayan Mumcha, than just a regular Dayan. Okay, that's the Shas topic. That's the Machlokas, the famous Machlokas about Shudu Dayani, what the definition is. Says the Gemara as follows, Umayish Nameh HaDutanah, back in the Gemara. Why is this any different? 3 lines from the top, 4 lines from the bottom. Why is this any different than that which we learned in the Mishnah? Hamachlof par b'chamar, if a person trades his cow for a donkey, the yolda, and it gave birth, v'chena mocher shivchaso, or someone sold his shivcha, but the way they did the kinyan, the shivcha wasn't right there at the shasa kinyan. The yolda, and then by the time they went back to the shivcha, she had given birth. Zomer ha'shalom achartu yolda, v'zomer m'shalakachtu yolda. Each one claims that the Leda happened while the animal or Shivcha was under their possession. Let's take an animal, for instance. The Parah was pregnant. They did the Chalipin by transferring the Chamar. So when I pull the Parah is in a different city. When I pull the Chamar into my possession, you automatically are the new owner of my Parah. But we don't. We come back and the Parah has a baby. And the Parah already sitting next to it. And we don't know when that baby was born. Was it born before I did the Mashiach on the Chamar? Or after I did the Mashiach on the Chamar? So naturally, I'm going to claim that it happened that the Parah gave birth before I did the Mashiach on the Chamar, and therefore the baby's mine. And you're going to claim it was after I did the Mashiach on the Chamar, and therefore the baby is yours. So what do we say? Yachloku, right? We don't say Kol Dalam Gavar. So why do we? Why is that any different than Rav Nachman's din of two guys saying Zomer Shalavosai, Zomer Shalavosai, where we say Kol Dalam Gavar? Why not say Kol Dalam Gavar over here as well? So answers the Gemara: Hasam Lahai Islay Drara de Mamona. Ulahu isle drara de mona. Hachi idemar lo demar, vi idemar lo demar. The difference is that in the case over there by Machlof par b'chamar, both of them have what's called drara de mamona, which we'll discuss in a second. But in the case of the zomer shalavosai, if it belongs to one guy, it for sure doesn't belong to the other guy. And meaning if it was shalavosav of this guy, it for sure wasn't shalavosav of the other guy, and vice versa. Right, so what is drara de mamona? So also Tosfos throughout Shas always says the same definition of drara de mamona. If you look at the top Tosfos on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, says Tosfos drara de mamona pirush de dalta nasayu mehacha. If we were to remove their tainos from this case, if we were to put them on mute and not hear a word that they say, and just look at the picture. Yesh safek lebezin, bezin would still not be sure, the heminayhu havlad, which one the baby belongs to. Imnolad kodem shemachar, o achar shemachar. Was it born before it was sold or after it was sold? We just see a baby there. We would have no idea without anyone's taina. The chain, meaning the case is an inherent safek. The chain b'shar shenaga chasapar v'nimtzu uva b'tzida. And similarly by a shar that gores a para, and you find the baby next to the para. Below ta'anasa misupakim beizdin echayemaisa. Without any tainas, beizdin doesn't know exactly what happened, and beizdin has a suffix. Im kodim shenacha yalda olacha shenacha. Whether the parah gave birth before the negicha, in which case, when the parah is going to be paid, its value is a lot more because it had a cow in it, or after the negicha, where the parah's value is a lot less. V'chein b'shar rodev achar shar achar v'huzak. And the same is true when one shar chases after another shar and damages. Yesh l'stabik in b'shar rohuzak. Al b'sal olaka. Right? We don't know if it was the shar that actually hurt him or it tripped on a rock or something. Every time you have machlokes rabbanon sumchus about mamon amutul b'safek, where sumchus says mamon amutul b'safek is chalkin, it's always going to be by a case of where it's drar d'mamona. Drar d'mamona means that if you remove the tainos, there would be an inherent safek. What's the classic case? Shayim Oksim Tatalus, first case in Bava Metzia. Two guys walk into Beis Din, grabbing onto a talus, playing tug of war with it, right? If they don't say anything, we could figure out that there's a problem here, that there's a suffix. Just look at two guys holding onto a talus, and you realize that there's a suffix. Abul Hacha Bezerma Shalavose Shalpita Noseyan Baha Suffix, Aminu Kaldalim Gavar. But over here, the suffix doesn't come inherently. The suffix only comes because one guy's living there. The suffix only comes because Zerma Shalavose or Zerma Shalavose or neither guy's living there, but it doesn't seem like there's a problem. The land looks tranquil and fine and whatever. No one's grabbing it because you can't really grab it. And it's only once they open up their mouths and one of them says Zelmer Shalavosai, one of them says Shalavosai, and the other one says Shalavosai, that's where you realize you have a problem. If you look at the Rashbam on Lamed Hei Mem Aleph, at the bottom, Hasam, Gabe Amachlut Paru B'Chamar, by the case of Machlut Paru B'Chamar, says Rashbam, L'Travayu Islu Dror D'Mona, Shapara V'Ashivcha Shal Shneim Haisa B'Zeh Achar Zeh. He seems to be saying Drar D'Mona a little bit differently. Not that if you take away the tainos, there's a suffix. Drar D'Mona means they were both the rightful owner at one point in time. And we just don't know who the baby belongs to because we don't know at which point in time that baby was born. But they both owned the para at some point. They both owned the chamar at some point. They both owned the shivcha at some point. Inami, b'shas chalipin yalda, or it could be that exactly at the moment of the chalip in the animal was born, and we have no idea who it belongs to. And even if we knew the Messias, we wouldn't know who it belongs to, because it's the exact same moment, and we wouldn't be able to tell. So hilkach yachloku, that's why we're going to divide in that case. So the Gemara is bothered, why by Amachlof Parav HaChamar do we not say Kol Da'on Gavar? Right? Why don't we just say, let the best man win, the strongest man win? Asks the Rashbam, I have a better question. Not a better question, a different question. Why don't we say Shuda Dedaini? Why don't we say let the judges decide? So says Rashbam, no, you can't say it. Afilu Shmuel v'lo shayach l'meimer el gabi matana l'shnayim sheyiru bezin l'mi o'ava yoser d'l'didei gomer makni. Rashbam l'shitaso. He says you can't say Shuda Dedaini because Shuda Dedaini is based in figuring out who the guy would have wanted to give it to more. Over here, it's not shayich. They're doing a deal, and it's just a question of when the cow gave birth. So what? The cow's only going to give birth in the possession of the owner that it likes better? No, it's ridiculous, right? There's nothing to say. There's no such svar of shuda. So right. So over here, it doesn't make sense to say any such thing of shuda d'daini. What's Tosfos going to say? Right, Tosfos says shuda d'daini is just they don't do what they want. They feel like doing for one guy, not the other guy, so they'll do what they want. So does Tosfos deal with it? I didn't get a chance to see if Tosfos deals with it directly. It could be that he does, but Pashtus is that one second. I think he does deal with it. No, I don't see where he deals with it. Okay, but Tosfos is going to have to say something. He's going to have to say, why don't we apply shud over here? Why don't we leave it up to the discretion of the dayanim? So over here, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what Tosfos is going to say. Right? Why don't we say yachloku over here, according to Shmuel, if shud is just totally the discretion of the dayanim, and we mamish have no idea what to do anyway. So, okay, don't know. So, says the Gemara, and this is something, by the way, that in terms of the previous chiluk, whether it's ikel lemekam alad demilsa or lekel lemekam alad demilsa, Pashto says this is lekel lemekam alad demilsa. How are you ever going to know what the what really transpired over here? The no one was in both places at the same time, right? No one was in the place where the cow was born and the transfer happened at the same time. You can't be in two places at the same time. Okay, says the Gemara. Amri Nardai, im ba echad min ashuk vehechzik ba, eim otzino sabiyad miyado. If one guy comes from the shuk and takes this karka, which karka? Again, we're still going back on the Kol Da'on Gavar case. Zelmer shalavosei v'zelmer shalavosei. Each Reuven's claiming it's his, Shimon's claiming it's his. Then Levi comes along and says, I'll take it. And Levi just comes and grabs it. So says the Gemara, if someone comes and grabs it, we can't take it away from him. Why not? Says Rashbam, midi, even though Levi's not saying anything. He's not even claiming it's his. He's just claiming he likes it and he wants it. Because there's no one that could say, no, you can't have that, it's mine. Because we don't know that it belongs to anybody. Meaning Reuven, it belongs to somebody, but Reuven can't say it's mine, we don't know that it's his. Shimon can't say it's mine, we don't know that it's his. And therefore it's like, there's no one that that is for sure the rightful owner, and therefore we can't take it away from Levi either. Tani Rabbi Chia, Gazlan Shal Rabbim, Lav Shmei Gazlan. Like Rabbi Chia taught us, a Gazlan Shal Rabbim is not called a Gazlan. Ravashi Yomel Yolam Shmei, meaning someone who steals from the Rabbim, right? A Gazlan is talking to someone who steals from more than one person who are arguing about something, so he's Lav Shmei Gazlan. Ravashi Yomel, Ravashi says, no. Yolam Shmei Gazlan. He is Shmei Gazlan. Umay Lo Shmei Gazlan. You know what it means, Lo Shmei Gazlan? Shalonitan Yishavon, that he never has the opportunity, the ability to correct the problem and do the mitzvah hashava, right? Normally when you steal something, you have a chi of veheshevel, you have to return the item that you stole. He doesn't have the ability to do that. So he's, by stealing from the rabbim, he's doing an aveira that he can't do tshuva for, because you're never going to be able to do the hashava. Says Rosh Bam, Ravashi Yom Leolim Gazlan Shalom Shmei Gazlan, Hol V'lo Toim Midi, U'motzi Miyado, U'ma Midi No Sobe Fnei Shnayim Arishon M'sheishnam Tainas Avos. So he really is a Gazlan, because he clearly doesn't have any claim. He's just coming in and taking it. What does it mean? Lo Shmei Gazlan, Ma'ej Lo Shmei Gazlan, Dukam Rabbi Chia, Lo Lahaka Lalav Ba, Lo Potro Mil Shalom, Lo Lahachmir Lav, V'lo Mer Delo Nita Li Shavon, Lo Mech Barba Shavon, Dei Ni Odeh, Lo Mi Yashiv, De Me Achar Shabba Li Yadu, Tzarech La Hashiv Lo Bailim, V'lo Lo Tziyah Mitachas Yadu, U'laf Kiru Lo Shnayim Arishonim. He can't even just say, you know what, I'll make it after and we'll go back to where it was. No, because the mitzvah is Hashava, when you steal something, is to return it to its rightful owner. And you don't have a rightful owner. So you can't just say, I'll be mafkir and let's just do kol d'olam gavar. Too late for that. Now that you stole it, you have a chiv to return it to the guy who really owns it. And then Rashbam goes on, he says, Vachinami amirim ha-mokhras ha-sfinam, Rabbi Levi, kasha onchen shal midos, me onchen shal arayos. Midos are more difficult to deal with than arayos. Midos meaning measurements in business. Umafarish hasam efshar b'tshuva, vachla efshar b'tshuva. Over there, it's possible to do tshuva. By midos, you're not going to be able to do tshuva. You're never going to be able to find all the people you cheated. So it's impossible to do tshuva. And something it's impossible to do tshuva for is much more difficult to deal with. As opposed to arayos. You could do tshuva for arayos. Unbelievable. It's the topic of tomorrow's Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. What can't you do tshuva for? Says the Gemara. Chazkas and shalosh shanim yom liyom. Right? So the Mishnah said that a chazaka is 3 years of every single day. Am Rabbi Abba. If one guy helps the other person with a basket of fruits from that field, then it's an immediate chazaka. Then you don't have to wait for the chazaka to occur. The chazaka happens immediately. If there are aidim that the ma'arer helped out the guy who's machzik grab a basket of fruits, take a basket of fruits from the field, he can't say, no, I never sold him this field. What do you mean? You helped him take the peros. So then it's chazaka immediately. But if the ma'arer claims, no, I helped him with a basket of fruits because I sold him fruits, not because I sold him the field, so then he's believed. But even that, obviously only within the first 3 years. After 3 years, he's not going to be believed to say that because the person has a cheskos gemul shanim. So asks the Gemara, wait a second, what if you taka sell someone the peros of your field for a 4 year period? Then what are you supposed to do? The guy's always going to have a chazaka, and what are you going to do? You're always going to lose your field. Now all you need to do is make a macha. You make a macha one time, and now the guy who has the field is mechuyev to hold on to the shtar forever. And if he's not holding on to the shtar forever, he's going to lose. Di lote mahachi hani meshkanta desur dekasubu b'mishlam shanya alin tepe gara da below kesef. If we were not to say this, then meshkanta desur wouldn't work out. What's a meshkanta desur? You owe me $1,000. So the way I'll do it is I'll take your field for 10 years, and we'll deduct $100 for each of those years. Well, after 10 years, aren't I going to have a chazaka? So you kavish le shtar meshkanta gabei. All I have to do is hide the shtar that says that it's only a mashkon vam lekuch ubi adi achnami. And then I'll be believed. Why, you think they're going to make such a takan of mashkanta desura if it's going to cause the rightful owner of the field to never have his field again? So by mashkanta desura, the way it works is if you know this guy's going to be holding on to the field for another 10 years, you need to say something about it, make a macha, and then he would need to prove it with a shtar if he wants to claim that it's his field. The same is is true over here when you sell your field, the peiros.